Welcome to Tor Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Nun Bet, Chapter 52. With a heavy heart and a feeling of accomplishment, we come to the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Chapter 52. This chapter is not what we would have expected to be the closing of this sad and rich book. We would have expected words of comfort, thoughts for the future, a last rebuke of the generation. Instead, we have a strange addendum, a retelling of the Chorban, lifted straight from the last parak of Sefer Melachim, Yirmiyahu's other book. There are slight differences. The story of Gedaliah is retold in Melachim chapter 25 and not in Yirmiyahu chapter 52. Some words are changed here and there, but besides that, it's the exact same story. The story begins with the anointment of Tzidkiyahu, informing us that he was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Then the story jumps to the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, when Nebuzaradan besieged Jerusalem in the 10th month, the month of Tevet, which we now commemorate with a fast day. The siege continues for 2 years, until the 10th of Av, when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. The story here departs from Yirmiyahu's own telling of the Chorban story in chapter 39. Here, in chapter 52, he details the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, whereas in 39, he glossed over it or ignored it completely, depending on how you read the words of 39. Additionally, besides the mentioning of the Chorban and the actual destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Perek 52 goes into great detail about which vessels and parts of the Beit HaMikdash were taken. For example, in verse 20, it says, Ha'amudim shnayim hayam echad, Vabakar Shemasar Nechoshet Asher Tachat Hemechonot Asher Asa Melch Shlomo Lebeit Hashem Lo Haya Mishkal Lenechushtam Kol HaKelim Ha'ele. We hear about the taking of the two pillars, the Yam, the sea, the 12 bulls that were under the bases that Shlomo had made for the house of Hashem, the ones that were made of brass, all of these vessels and their weights. The parak also describes the capture of Sariah, the Kohen Gadol. As it says in verse 24, Vaykach Rav Tavachim et Sariah, Kohen HaRosh vet Tzfanya, Kohen HaMishnah. The chief executioner, the head of the butchers, took Sariah, the head Kohen, and Tzfanya, the second Kohen. We have heard about Tzfanya. He was the one that Shemaiah HaNechalami wrote a letter to in chapter 29, asking him not to let Yirmiyahu into the Beit HaMikdash anymore. And also Vetshloshet Shomri Asaf, and three other Kohanim. And we read in chapter 52 about their terrible fate, how they were put to death at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, who was sitting out the battle in the city of Riblah, which is north of Damascus in modern-day Syria. The parak ends with King Jehoiachin languishing in jail for 37 years after ruling for only 3 months, when Evil Merudach, Nebuchadnezzar's son, takes pity on him. And it says in verse 32, Vayedaberito tovot, he speaks kindly to him. Vayetena kiso mima'al l'kisei hamlachim asher toba bevel, he raises his seat above the other exiled kings that were with him in Bavel. Mishinat bigdei kilo, he changes his prison garments into regular clothes. Va'achal lechem lefanav tamid kol yimei chayav, and he gives Jehoiachin a stipend to eat bread before him all of his days. Va'aruchato aruchot tamid nitnalo me'it melch bavel. And all of his meals, all of his provisions are given to him from the king of Bavel, davar yom biyomo, every single day, ad yomoto, until he dies, kol yimei chayav. Thus closes this book of Yirmiyahu with Jehoiachin, a seemingly insignificant character, who ends up being the continuation of Malchut Yisrael, and Malchut Beit David, the Davidic line of kings. All is not lost. The question remains, however, what is the purpose of this perek? First of all, we could have read it in Sefer Melachim. We have read it in Sefer Melachim. Yirmiyahu's nevuot already commenced at the end of the last perek, chapter 51, with the fall of Bavel. This perek, transposed from another book, seems like just an addendum that, instead of adding, ends up taking away. In order to answer this question, I'd like to propose that there are actually four endings to Sefer Yirmiyahu. The first ending is the historical ending, the ending of rebuke that occurs in Perek 44 when Yirmiyahu closes his speech to the Jews of Tachpanes, Egypt. The Chorban story isn't over until the last remaining remnant, at first led by Gedaliah, goes into self-chosen exile in Egypt. Yirmiyahu, devastated and bitter about this terrible choice and saddened by the downward spiral that he has seen since arriving in Egypt, warns the community that instead of finding serenity, they have stepped onto a landmine. Kol Amar Hashem, says Yirmiyahu in verse 30. Hineni notenet paro chafra melech Mitzrayim v'yad oivav. I'm going to give Paro over to the hands of his enemies, v'yad mevakshei nafsho, those that are seeking to kill him. Kasher natati et Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda v'yad Nebuchadrezzar melech Bavel oivav mevakshei nafsho. Don't you realize Paro's also going to be given over to the hands of Bavel, just like Tzidkiyahu was. You haven't left anything to find something good. You've only ended up in a worse place. You've ended up in a war zone. Of course, the Jews ignore Yirmiyahu and are left to their fate. Thus ends the first ending of Yirmiyahu, his ending of rebuke to the community. The second ending is the emotional ending. The portrayal of the Chorban in Perek 39 is flat, unfeeling, and minimalistic. One can only imagine Yirmiyahu watching in horror from the prison of the Chatzar Matara in the palace grounds, watching the city burn, too traumatized to speak. It is only in recollection that his lament and suffering over the fate of Yerushalayim can come out. In the first verse of Sefer Echa, Yirmiyahu uses careful imagery that he developed in Sefer Yirmiyahu, but he transposes it onto his emotional response to the destruction of Yerushalayim, thereby ending the Sefer elsewhere with pain and deep emotion. Echa yashva badad, writes Yirmiyahu, how can it be that the city sits alone? Ha'ir rabati am, the city that was teeming with people, haita ka'almana, is now like a widow. Rabati bagayim, sariti b'minot. You were so plentiful among the nations. You had so much power. Now, haita lamas, you've come but a tax. Yirmiyahu sees Yerushalayim through the prism of his own experience. Just like Yerushalayim sits like a widow, Yirmiyahu too was unable to have a family. Just like Yerushalayim was betrayed by her neighbors that she thought were allies, Yirmiyahu too was betrayed by his friends and neighbors. And it was he who called out to Hashem in Perek 15, in pain, Lo yashavti besod mesachakim ve'eloz. I could never sit amongst a group of people and just be happy. Mipnei yadcha badad yashavti. Because of your hand, Hashem, I sit alone, kiza'am milatani, because you filled me with anger. This loneliness that Yirmiyahu felt, the pain and suffering that Yirmiyahu felt throughout his life, degraded, bereft, alone, he can now use to understand Yerushalayim's pain and thereby give us a great gift, his emotional recollection of the Chorban that we can use to open our emotional world and connect to what is lost. And so too ends the second ending of Yirmiyahu, not in this book, but in another. The third ending to the Sefer is the consolation, the Nechama, which ends in Perek 51. While most of the book revolves around rebuke, pushing B'nai Israel to give up their comfortable idolatry, pushing B'nai Israel to notice the weaker people in society and come together as a community, pushing them to put long-term goals ahead of short-term conveniences. In chapter 50 and 51, the end of the Nevuah L'Goyim, Yirmiyahu changes tacks and talks about the future, when Bavel, Babylonia, will finally fall and Hashem will reclaim B'nai Israel as his nation. Instead of Yerushalayim sitting like a widow, he proclaims in verse 5, Ki lo alman Yisrael, Yehudah me'elohav. Yisrael and Yehudah are not widowed of Hashem, their God. Hashem has not given up on Bnei Yisrael. The whole time that they were in Galut, he was waiting for them. This follows on the heels of Perek 31, where Rachel weeps for her missing children, unable to be comforted, unable to have closure, because she knows deep down that her children are not gone. Hashem responds to Rachel in verse 15, you can stop your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. There is going to be a reward for your care and for your work. Your children will come back from the land of their enemies. The day will come, says Yirmiyahu in Parak 31, when we will see Kipada Hashem at Yaakov. Hashem will redeem Yaakov and his children and his grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren, and they will redeem them from a hand that was much stronger than them and bring them back to their own land. Words that we recite daily in our Marv liturgy right before we start Shmona Esrei, following the dictum to be Somech Gula L'Tvilav, connecting redemption to our prayers. And this is the redemption that we chose to connect to. Parak 52 now is the fourth ending to Sefer Yirmiyahu, and we will call it the ending of the future. In order to figure out what this parak is saying to us, we need to analyze the two aspects of it that are different from Yirmiyahu's recounting of the Chorban in Parak 39. Those two elements are, one, the description of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash along with the list of vessels that were taken, and the story of the ascension of Jehoiachin in Babylonia 37 years after he was taken captive. These two elements point us to another book in Tanakh, a book that picks up the baton where Yirmiyahu leaves it off, a book that states in the first pasuk that the events of this book will be L'chalot Tvar Hashem, Mipi Yirmiyah, a fulfillment of the nevuah of Yirmiyahu. And that book is Sefer Ezra. Ezra describes the return of the captives to Israel, where they are given permission by King Cyrus of Persia to go back and build the Beit HaMikdash. There are two main elements that Ezra describes besides Cyrus's proclamation of return. One is the leadership of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, grandson of King Jehoiachin, who becomes governor of the fledgling community in Israel. This connects to the freeing of Jehoiachin from jail at the end of chapter 52 of Yirmiyahu. The other element of connection is the long description in chapter 1 of Ezra of the vessels that Cyrus gave the Jews on their way back to Israel to use in their second temple. Connecting to the description of the vessels captured from the destroyed temple after the destruction. By adding on a second telling of the Chorban, we are able to connect these two narratives, the narrative of the exile and the narrative of the return. This is not nechama, consolation, in the classical sense. It is not Hashem proclaiming his love for Bnei Israel. It is the actualization of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, the part that shows the reader that the exile was purposeful, and just like Yirmiyahu promised, it was temporary. This fourth ending of Sefer Yirmiyahu, the one that highlights the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, also seals the connection to the next book that will detail its rebuilding. These four endings, the historical rebuke ending, the emotional ending, the conciliatory ending, and the futuristic ending, comprise between them all the themes of the book, and exist both as independent entities as well as in dialogue with each other. Each major theme of the book has its own ending, and in this rich and multi-layered book, we see that it would not be complete without any one of them. I want to thank each one of you for joining me on this journey through Sefer Yirmiyahu. I've been enriched by delving into Yirmiyahu's message, and I hope that you have as well. When I recorded these podcasts and sent them off into the abyss, I imagined us as fellow travelers as we struggled together through the highs and many lows of Bnei Yisrael, keeping in mind that Yirmiyahu's rebuke means that Hashem has everlasting faith in us to become better, kinder, and more reflective people. I wish all of you a Yasher Koach for learning this wonderful but difficult Sefer, and I wish you continued success and enlightenment in your learning. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilai Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yossi.